Hi, I'm Megan M. Riley from MeganMRiley.com. I'm a natural born psychic and sexual empowerment coach, and you are listening to Women's Guide to Living the Orgasmic Life. Hello, goddesses. Welcome back. Thank you for being here. My name is Megan Riley. I'm a psychic and a sexual empowerment coach. So what that means is I work with women on healing their relationship with their body, healing their relationship with their sexuality, having really amazing relationships, starting the job of their dreams, fulfilling on dreams that they have had for 10, 20 years. All of these things are possible, and all of these things are happening with the women that I get to work with. And one of the things that I love about these podcasts is being able to connect with really extraordinary women. We don't really have anything like the red tent anymore. And I read the red tent several years ago, and it may have been the place that I was in, but how I interpreted the red tent was it was a place for women to be segregated because there was something wrong if they're on their moon. And you know, the more research that I do about this and the more research that I do on what actually was going on with the red tent is that this was a week, a month for women to sit down and to be and to remember who they are and to remember and access the power, like the power of the yoni, the power of the moon. And we are the source of creation. We are the source of transformation. And nowadays, we don't have any way to connect to that. So hopefully this podcast is one way that you can connect to that and one way that you can really remember the source of your power. And a sweet, sweet friend of mine is with me today, Jennifer Smith. You are going to love her energy. And she's got some really amazing stories. You know, I want to hear as a fellow trauma survivor, this woman has cheated death several times and how she is based in integrity and with her intuition and everything that she's come up against with regards to honoring her intuition, being a person of integrity, listening to that. And so now what she does is works with both men and women in getting unstuck, in being able to access and amplify your intuition. And really, you know, for those of us that are empaths and those of us that are sensitives and have always felt like freaks, it is time. It is time. We need you to embrace that freak flag and let it fly. So Jennifer, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much. You're going to make me cry right off the bat.
Yay.
Why not start right off the bat with 100% integrity in who you are? And part of who I am is someone who feels things so very strongly. I just felt so honored and so good to hear you say those things about me. So thank you. It made me teary. But I think a good thing to start off with is, you know, like when you feel like crying, it's okay to cry.
Yes.
And when you feel like cussing, it's okay to cuss.
Yes.
And everything in between. So.
Yes. And that we take that space when we're taking that space to express the emotion, when we're taking that space to communicate something, when we're taking that space, it gives our children the freedom to learn how to take that space. And it also is then training other women in how to do that as well. So let's see here. Cheating death. Coming out of the woo-woo closet, being a person with a very, very strong intuition and messages and hints and nudges from the universe. You know, one question that I get a lot of is, how can I make my intuition louder? And what's the difference between fear and intuition?
Those are big. Yeah. They're really good questions, and they're really big.
And you know, I was talking to a friend about this, and tell me if you feel this as well. There are times when I can hear what someone is thinking.
Yes, absolutely.
A lot of times, especially when I was growing up, it was the thing that people are most embarrassed about or ashamed about that they would broadcast the loudest. As a teenager, I really didn't understand what they were broadcasting. But then if I get into a fearful state or if I have sugar or something like that, then the fear thoughts come in and they seem pretty convincing, similar to the broadcasting or the nudges or something. You know, they seem similar, and the fear stuff seems even more certain. So we might listen to that more. How do you tell the difference?
Oh my gosh, this is an amazing question. And I've gotten a lot better at it over the years, but even still, sometimes it's hard and I have to question, is this fear or is this my intuition? And it's especially confusing because sometimes my intuition is giving me a message and my response to that message is fear. Mm. So not so much that the intuition is something scary or bad, but my response to it is sometimes. Having to sort of, and practice, I think practice and listening to it and taking action on your intuition every chance you get, which could be every second of every day, is going to help it come quicker and easier. But let's see. So knowing the difference between whether this is a fear that I'm feeling or an intuitive message that I'm getting. One of the big things that I do is I have to ask myself, I have to pay attention to my responses. How am I responding? What am I responding to? Because fear in me anyways, and it may be for a lot of other people, is typically a response to something. If I'm feeling nervous or worried or stressed out, I have to ask myself, am I afraid of something right now? Am I worried about something? Am I avoiding something? It's kind of having a conversation with yourself, which sometimes can feel funny, especially in the beginning when you're like, you know, are people going to think I'm crazy for talking to myself? Who cares? Especially when it can save your life. So I have to pay attention to my responses and I have to ask myself, what am I responding to? Because it's typically, the intuition is typically what I'm responding to. Okay, so very simple, easy thing. Like one time I remember specifically, this is a very, very long time ago. I was driving and all of a sudden I had the intuitive message, get over in the far left lane. Well, I needed to be in the right-hand lane to make a right-hand turn, like, three lights up. And I was like, why do I need to get over, right? Like, but then I started to feel afraid because that didn't make sense because it was illogical for where I was going, you know? But I did have a response of fear, but I couldn't put my finger on it. I couldn't describe it. And it was all happening so quickly because I was driving, right? So like, get over in the far left lane. And then that scares me because it's like, what's going on here? Like, why? You know, like, can you give me some more information here? And it doesn't make sense because I need to turn right, like three lights up. So I quickly realized that, yes, I'm feeling fear right now. But why am I feeling fear? Because I have a message that tells me I need to get over. Okay, so I'm going to listen to that message and I'm just going to get over. So I got over in the left lane. I ended up missing my turn, which is fine. You can always course correct. But this gets me emotional every time. I got over in the far left lane and like a couple streets up on the right, there was a shooting happening in someone's driveway.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know which direction the bullets were going. I don't know if had I stayed in the right lane, a stray bullet would have come through. I don't know. But I do know that my intuition was making a safer distance between me and that shooting that was happening. So this is kind of, you know, an example of how do I know, is this fear or is this intuition? And often it can be both. For me, it's kind of breaking it down, being present with it, taking some time and space with what I'm feeling, getting clear on what it is that I'm feeling, which is hard to do while you're driving. You know, I didn't have time and I just did it. But at a time when we're not driving, to take some space, get clear on what it is that we're feeling and why we're feeling it, and what is it that we're feeling in response to? What is that feeling responding to? And that can typically, I think, get us to what the intuitive message is.
Interesting. You know, this brings up, in the woo community, a lot of people talk about fear and that fear is just something that you need to be with, false evidence appearing real, all sorts of horseshit, in my opinion.
I agree.
In the conversation of intuition, but then also following the fear, Well, here's an example. So of a girlfriend who is really, really, really afraid of her husband cheating on her. Really afraid. So much so, it's probably predictable that he will, because she puts so much energy into it.
Or already is.
Right. Yes. And following that fear, that's amplifying it even more, as opposed to like, follow the fear of your business, or follow the fear, do the thing that's uncomfortable, or something like that. Where would you say for her to look
My answer is almost always going to be within, but what does that mean, right? What does that mean to look within, and what does that look like? So in the case of having this extreme fear that your husband is cheating on you, like how do you know if that's just a fear response or if it's an intuitive message telling you that it's already happened? So I would say, again, like create some space. Like you can do this with another person as long as you kind of vet that person. Preferably like a coach or a therapist of some type who really can hold space and allow you to work through it yourself and isn't going to like plant things in your head to make it even more confusing, which friends can tend to do. Like we love our friends, but we need a different type of container for this type of unraveling. And it can even happen alone. And another really good way to do it is alone with a journal, so to write it out. So if I were having a discussion with her, I would say, why, like, where's this coming from? Why are you afraid of this? Like, is this something you've experienced in the past? Is this related to a prior event that was very painful to you? And so are you projecting this? You know, is this something that's just coming up? Like, we can kind of get down to what's really underneath it or where what the root cause is of this. And sometimes there's a million possibilities that could go in that way. Like, maybe she's never been cheated on before. I don't know. Or maybe she has a friend who's recently been cheating on, and so she's just afraid it's going to happen to her. Or she's seen it happen in so many other areas, or it happened with her parents. Or there's so many possibilities, but really sitting with it for a while. And what I mean by sitting with it is like allowing some space for what's inside to come up, and to come up in a way where it's not afraid to come up, where it's allowed to come up, where you can journal about it and ask yourself why. Like, I like to ask why several times. Like, why am I feeling this? Where is this coming from? And so many times the answers are just right there, especially when you create a safe container for it, either with another person or just with your journal. So for me, I think intuition can come to us in several different ways. You know, it can just be a knowing inside, like we just know this. It could be like an actual voice we hear. It could be an actual picture we see. It could be a smell. It could be a sound. It could be combination of all of those things. So once you get through the journaling of all of this stuff or the unraveling with it, which can happen very quickly. I mean, in some cases, it could take a long time, but it can happen within minutes. If you're really receiving this message on an intuitive level in one of those ways, then you'll know that it's intuition. But if it's just a fear, then you'll have answers as to why you're really starting to feel this. You'll have things you can connect it to. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that you do is work with men and women in amplifying their intuition and teaching them how to listen, right?
Yes.
I think that everyone has it.
I
think that it is more natural for us to be listening to intuition than to not. I don't think that there are only a select few of us who have that. But just like playing the piano, I will never get beyond chopsticks. And then there are those that are just naturals at it. So I think you and I are one of those that are super, super tuned in, but that everyone can learn.
I love that example with the piano, because just like that, like I would probably never get beyond playing chopsticks either, but I can sure as heck like just tinker around on there, right?
Uh-huh.
Like everyone, even if they're not super connected to their intuition, can tinker around in there, and they're listening and they can hear it without even realizing that they're doing.
Cool. Well, what are some of the like daily practices that you suggest in listening and being able to hear it more?
One that I really like the most is definitely journaling. I call mine like morning pages.
Mm-hmm.
Because journaling gets out a lot of the stuff that's in the way. It just is a place to kind of empty your basket of like how, what's going on, what you're worried about, what you're stressed about, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, anything, just to get it all out of the way. It opens so much space for you so that you can go into the day like open and ready to receive from your intuition. But then also I really like energy protection. There's a million different energy protection things that people can do. I kind of like one that I used a lot when I worked in the prison was mirrors. I you know, those like long rectangle mirrors that you can like hang on the back of a door.
Yeah.
So I imagine all of those turned around and facing out. So whoever looks at me sees the mirror and they're all the way around me.
Mm-hmm.
So my energy can go out into the world and it can go through the mirror, but anyone's energy who comes towards me, like kind of just goes right back to me.
Nice.
And then I have this connection, like, you know, maybe through the top of my head or through my heart or wherever, where I can allow like my divine intuition to come in. Mm. So I'm not completely closed off, but I'm protected. And I'm open because I've emptied my basket first thing in the morning. That I really, really liked a lot.
Oh, that's really good. I have one I suggest. It's, and I call it the hit book. It could go into the phone as well, but carrying around a little tiny notebook with a date and whatever the thought is. And then when it completes, so when that thing happens, like be, you know, seeing the future or just getting a nudge about something, when that completes, then leaving a little space in between and then writing down the date that it completed and what exactly happened. And then we can highlight it. So as you go through your hit book, you start to gain more confidence and more like validation that you're not full of shit and you're not making things up. And you'll see just like page after page after page that gets highlighted. And sometimes it's a week, sometimes it's a day, sometimes it's a year, but it still gets complete.
That's awesome. Hit, like HIT?
Yeah. Like what's your hit? It's a hit book.
That's hilarious. It's like a hit list.
Yes.
Only we're not killing people.
Right.
we're just hitting the target, which is our intuition. I love that.
But we have talked several times about growing up as an empath and growing up sensitive and just how awkward it is and how alone it feels. And getting to the point of having the courage to say, okay, this is who I am, and to do it in like a public way invites judgment and ridicule and also invites other men and women and especially children to be able to see that maybe they are not alone. Tell me your coming out of the woo-woo closet story.
I'll start with this. As a child, I didn't know for the longest time that I was different or weird in any way. I thought everyone was like this. I had moments where I was disappointed when, like, I would say something's going to happen and then it would happen, like, almost instantly. And this little boy took off running. and I was, like, hurt that he left. Mm-hmm. And it was only as an adult looking back that I could see, oh my gosh, that probably freaked him out. So as a child, all the way up until probably high school, I didn't know that it was different or weird, which is kind of a long time, I think, compared to others, some others. I mean, I had people like react kind of strange, but I still just was like, I always have had, and I still do occasionally, and I have to remind myself this is not always the case. I have always had this feeling that everyone can do what I do, and everyone knows what I know, and everyone knows what I'm thinking, and knows what I'm feeling, right? Because why wouldn't they?
Right.
Which is very naive to some degree, but it also, I feel like, speaks to how natural it is for so many people. So in high school, it got a little bit more weird, and then I think I started hiding it. And I went for my first tarot reading when I was 15 years old with a friend who was into this kind of stuff. So luckily I had a friend, you know, but I realized it was like, this was all of a sudden a taboo kind of thing. And I had to be kind of quiet about it and careful who I talked to about it. And every once in a while it would come up, like at work, you know, as I started getting jobs, or I would just hear people making comments about it that, you know, this is bad in some way or the devil's work or whatever.
Right.
So I ended up hiding it for probably about 20 years.
Hmm. Did anything happen to turn things off? Are there any gifts that you had growing up that you don't have now? I used to have premonitory dreams and they were fast, like the night before.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, we were in Mexico. So I was probably 9 or 10 and it was like every night I would have a dream. And there was one night where I dreamt that my brother got hit in the face with a baseball bat and died.
Oh my gosh.
And the next day we went to a party and there was a piñata and my brother was standing while someone else was swinging the piñata and he got hit in the face. And I thought I caused it and felt awful. And there was just this, it wasn't even like a conscious decision. It was like a physiological reaction to thinking that I had caused that. And I remember like turning it down to the point where it doesn't happen. I don't have premonitory dreams. I think it's possible to get back, but there's so many different things that kids have, like just because they're closer, you know, they're a little bit closer to the source that we in our conditioning and training and of what we think we can do and what we think we can't do disappears.
Yeah. Or what society has told us in essence to kind of shut down in order and us comply in order to fit in. I love this because So yes and no. The answer is yes and no. It happened probably a lot more frequently when I was younger, for sure. And it happened so frequently when I was 18 and 19 years old, which is largely in part why I shut it off completely. I had premonitory dreams as well every single night for years, and they were happening. Like I would meet people and meet them the next day. And then for an entire year, I dreamed of war, and that was really hard.
Wow.
Remembering it is hard. It's like I was there. I could see the helicopters coming down. I was like hiding under bridges. I could hear gunfire. It was like being in an active war. And I had these dreams for a year, and they did not happen until probably about a year later. This is kind of funny. I've always known which president was going to be elected. And for this particular election, I knew which president was going to be elected, and I knew that somehow these war dreams were connected to that. Mm. And sure enough, this president was elected, and we went to war, and it was all over the TV. Every news channel was constantly showing all of these scenes exactly as I had dreamed them. And so it was too much. Like, it was just too much. And I didn't understand at the time, why am I experiencing this? I'm not in the military, so it's not like I'm helping in some way by knowing this beforehand. Like, I have nothing to do with politics, so why know? What's the purpose of this? And I didn't figure it out at the time. And so it was just too much, and I would wake up exhausted and so much and so heavy all night long that I was like, no more. Like, if I cannot figure out why this is happening, then shut it off. And I did it feels like I shut it off for a long time, but I don't think it was anywhere near as long as it probably was. It was shut off in that particular way for sure for, I don't know, maybe 10 years. But my intuition came through in other ways. And I realized I needed it again shortly thereafter. And so it was kind of like making a deal, like, okay, you can let me know the things I need to know with purpose so that I can help myself or that I can help someone else. But everything else I'm not interested in is not entertaining to me. So I need to let go of the rest of that stuff and like filter it. Like, it does not come through, because like the end of age 18 and 19 is when I started working in the jails and the prisons up until I was about 27-ish, I think. Boy, did I use it a lot there. But it was different, you know, it was less dreams, although I did have a couple dreams. I do remember having a dream that one particular inmate would tell me if something was going to happen on the compound, and the next day he did.
Huh.
But it was one time, you know, it wasn't every night.
Mm-hmm.
So it slowed down, and I did end up asking for it back within reason.
Well, knowing what you know now, what would you say to someone who is experiencing that stuff? Remember the show Dead Zone? There was a show several years ago, and it was a cable show, and there was a man who would see things. And then the whole show was directed around him stopping whatever that was. And so then a lot of people, because we don't have great intuitive role models, and Hollywood is not at all a role model, a lot of people think that if they see something or they feel something, then they need to do something about it. And it causes a level of panic and puts people into fight or flight, when really that's not what the source is, that's really not what's going on, and that's not why they're getting the information. So for someone who is getting information they don't know what to do with, they're discerning between fear and intuition. They're able to tell that it is an intuitive hit, but not what to do about it. Sorry about the background noise. What would you say to someone knowing what you know now?
That's a great question. It's a tricky thing. And every situation's going to be different. I mean, if there is something that they think they can try and do, then maybe it's worth trying, but they would have to really see how they feel about that. Like, if there's an intuitive message connected with that,
Mm-hmm.
If there's not an intuitive message that's connected with that, then maybe the message is really just for them, to prepare them for what's going to happen. I think that's often the case, is our intuition is just preparing us for how to handle what's going to happen. But so many things are so different too. So they would really have to kind of, you know, check in and see, like, is there really something that I can, if there's a lot of fear related to it, I think they have to resolve the fear first, which is really hard. And they're probably pressed for time too. Like really just sitting down and writing it really fast. Like I literally carry a pad of paper and a pen in my purse everywhere I go, because there are times where something, I may get an intuitive message and then feel like, oh my God, what do I do with this? Right? Because no matter how many times you go through this, you still often feel that, right? Mm-hmm. Do I stay here? Do I do something here? Is this for me or for someone else? And so I just quick write, because it's like, you have to empty the basket in order for more messages to come.
Mm.
So they would have to somehow resolve the fear and what the fear is related to, because sometimes you can do something and sometimes you can't. And sometimes it's just preparing you for what's going to happen. So, you know, if you're receiving a message about a friend or something, like maybe it's something that that friend has to experience or is already experiencing or about to experience. And maybe there's something you can do about it. And maybe there's not. If you try, are you interfering somehow? Same questions. And I think every situation's different. So I don't know if there's like an across-the-board answer for that. But a lot of times I think intuition is specifically for the receiver. And so, you know, like if I was receiving a message that something was going to happen or something, I would have to decide, you know, am I going to try and step in somehow or talk to this person? Maybe it could help them as well. Or maybe it's just to help me be there for that person in a particular way that they may need me to show up. It's an amazing question, but it's tricky to answer because I feel like every situation is so different. So again, I think like the baseline thing would be, you know, write everything out that you're feeling. Really get to what it is that you're actually feeling and what may be underneath that feeling and what may be underneath that feeling, and get it out so that you can be clear. And then you may receive, you know, some more intuition on whether or not to act or just prepare yourself for how to show up.
It's not always literal either. I had a dream a few months ago that a man that I was dating was going to use a drug, and there was nothing that I could do about it. And I told him, and I said, I don't think that it's literal. And just to let you know, this is the dream that I had. Well, it turned out that he did something that, you know, wasn't healthy, and there was nothing that I could do about it. So it came true. But what it ultimately was just kind of like a preparation of, this person is going to self-select out of your life and you're going to be fine. And those kinds of things, where it doesn't have to be where we grip onto something or we have to change it or we have to do something about it, it never is that way. The reason that you're getting the information is to take care of yourself and that you will be fine. It's like pulling the tower card. You know, people are freaked out about the tower card. Change is good.
Yep.
And it might not be like it in the moment, but it is always good. And there is no reason, since we are protected and provided for and everything happens for us, not to us, that there is some better reason that this change happened.
Yes.
So tell me, what's the better reason for you cheating death several times?
Oh my gosh. There's kind of several answers to this. I never have a straight answer. But life is not a straight line either. So, mm-hmm. And time is not linear. Mm-hmm. So each time I kind of cheated death, the first time for sure, I was like, oh my God, this is very apparent to me that I have a purpose in this world. And I hope God, I can figure out what it is so that I can do it, fulfill it. After the first time, that's what it was. I had no idea what my purpose was at the time. And then, you know, I kept looking and looking and looking and I wasn't finding it. And I thought, okay, so then I started like praying, please let me fulfill my purpose, even if I don't know what it is. And then I cheated death again. And then I was like, okay, I know this is connected to the first time. And clearly I have a purpose, but I'm not still completely 100% sure what it is. And I was looking, but then my life really started to get crazy. Like, enter tower card. Mm-hmm. This is the part in my life where for a year, without hearing the specific words, all of the things that were going on around me were telling me serve or suffer.
Hmm.
But it had to be a choice. It had to be a choice. Like, this is a craziest thing. Like I wanted to fulfill my purpose, but like, I didn't know what it was. So how do I choose it? Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. So everything that was not meant to be in my life started becoming incredibly uncomfortable, extremely painful and uncomfortable. And I wasn't realizing it. So it took over a year, but the last year of it was really, really painful. So looking back, I can see how very clearly it was serve or suffer, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the suffering was doing all of the things that I thought I was supposed to do to live in the world, to, you know, work, to earn money, to have a relationship, to do all the things that society says we're supposed to do, right? But all of those things are the things that became very painful, to the point where I really cheated death the third time. And the third time was like, okay, now you step into your power and you have to be yourself. It gets me teary. You have to be yourself. So then it was like, okay, so who am I? Because I'm doing all of these things that I thought I was supposed to do in the world. I had a six-figure income, a really good kind of somewhat prestigious job. At least some would think so. Was engaged, had just had a baby. But none of that was, like, I'd been hiding who I was for 20 years. This was coming out of the woo-woo closet. I had been hiding my intuition. I had been hiding my healing abilities. I had been hiding all of the, you know, alternative things that I did, even just down to homeopathic remedies, and Bach flower remedies, and using a pendulum, and my tarot cards, and Reiki, and all of these things. And so in the last time, it was like I was forced to choose, in essence, to stand up and in my power. Mm. And when I did, I still didn't know what was coming afterwards. But I stood up and I said, I'm not going to live this way anymore. This ends now. And it also required me to ask for help, which I never used to do in the past. And when I did, it created a huge space. So that was August of 2013. And I feel like that was the choice. Like, even though it wasn't a specific choice or a conscious choice, even though I didn't know exactly what it was that I was choosing, but I was choosing to step into who I was and own my own power and in all that that meant, including all that I didn't even know yet that it meant. And then I was some degree freer, enough, like a huge degree freer, so that from that space from 2013 to May of 2017, when I finally really was like, okay, no more hiding. This is coming, fully coming out. These are my gifts. This is what I'm going to use my life for. And I quit my job, May of 2017, and started my business using all of the gifts that I came here to do.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, I heard for years, years before I quit drinking, if you can quit, you can have everything. And I would look for all the possible ways that I could have what I wanted without quitting drinking. I tried, you know, lots of different options. I tried lots of different things. There's this, you know, 30-day solution. There's a great website called Hello Sunday Morning. All sorts of ways, like in the bargaining conversation of, okay, how can I have that, but not actually do what you're asking me to do? And it got worse and worse and worse. And the voice got louder and louder. If you can stop, you can have anything. And I couldn't stop. And what we're talking about, trauma too, and healing from trauma, you know, so many of the issues that we have or addiction or responses or anything going on with the body, with mental health, with anything like that is unhealed trauma. And if you take that piece out, then the whole Jenga thing falls. You know, so for anyone who is having those kinds of, just like Jen was, you know, if you can listen and if you can say who you are and say who you are with congruity and integrity, then life will open up and you will have freedom. Or to me, if you can do this thing and look at it like a sacrifice or look at it like an alignment or congruency or some, however you want to look at it, if you can do this thing, then all these pieces will fall and you will have this kind of life. It is out there.
It is. And I feel like there's a huge degree of telling the truth that's connected to it.
Yes. And just being, truth is so enchanting because no one really does that anymore. So for the people who say, okay, this is who I am. So go back to the freak flag. This is who I am. This is the piece of me that I am healing. And this is the piece of me that I can share and serve with the world. There is something enchanting and almost like, it's so magnetic when someone can do that.
Yeah, it really is. Just seeing one person do it almost gives you permission to do it too.
Yeah. Is that Marianne Williamson? Who am I not to be? So we didn't talk about this, but do you want to do a couple cards?
For you?
Let's do like for who is listening.
Love that. Awesome. So luckily, my intuition told me to have my cards handy.
Well, how about that?
So for who is listening, what is the message? Okay. There's no rules with this. So you can shuffle. I usually just shuffle until it feels right.
Mm-hmm.
You can either pull from the top, you can pull from wherever feels right, you can shuffle till some fall out. In this particular case, I just cut wherever it felt right, and we'll take them off the top from there. Ooh, Wheel of Fortune. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So for those who are listening right now, things are starting to look up for you. This means there have been some cycles of ups and downs, and things are starting to look up and work out in your favor. And interestingly, this is probably coming right after a period of feeling like there was nothing you could do about a situation, like feeling stuck, like you don't have any control over it, like your hands are, there's nothing you can do. Such a frustrating feeling. Ooh, we get the Tower. So this is usually, you know, when you're in a place where you feel like you are so stuck and there's nothing you can do about a situation, like any option that I try isn't going to work, or if I try this, then there's this other thing in place that's going to shut it down. Almost like I just have to sit and wait it out, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to wait forever kind of feeling. Enter a Tower card. And I love this. People are afraid of the Tower card, and I get it. It's okay. But I love to call it the shit hits the fan card. because it does. Like it really means kind of like the shit hits the fan. But it's always to bring about a higher awareness to something. It really is like with purpose, with good purpose, to help along this situation of stagnation. Because when you're stuck, like nothing's moving. When the shit hits the fan, then like, oh my God, then there's this big shakeup, right? Oh, I love it. I love it. And you know what? I love too. Okay, so the Eight of Cups. So we also pulled the Eight of Cups, which means moving to a higher level and doing so, like leaving the past behind, not looking back, moving to a higher level within yourself, a higher level of awareness, a higher level of understanding, which naturally is what the Tower card is about. So, and I love that these two cards are on the end. So on the inside, what may be happening is this feeling of being stuck, like nothing's moving, nothing, there's nothing I can do about this situation, which, like, I'm telling you, like, in a really bad relationship, a really toxic relationship, that's the feeling. Like, I'm stuck here. Like, financially, I'm stuck. Physically, I'm stuck. No one else will love me. I don't have the money to leave. I may not have a job. I may not have whatever. Like, this is, like, this horrible feeling. You know, and then the shit hits the fan, which could show up in any way. You know, it could show up in like the house burns down. It could show up in an abusive situation. It could show up as a gun pointed to your head.
Mm-hmm.
I know this. So, number three for me, that's when the shit hit the fan. And so these two cards are on the inside of the four, and on the outside, what's surrounding this is the Wheel of Fortune and the Eight of Cups. So you are surrounded by protection. You are surrounded by whatever's going on the inside that may be painful and feels like you can't get out of. You're protected. You can get out of it thanks to the Tower card. The shit will hit the fan, but you're protected. And it moves you to a higher level of awareness, and it allows you to leave the past behind. And good things are coming. There have been cycles of ups and downs, but things are starting to work in your favor.
Very nice. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for letting me do that. Oh my gosh, I love it.
That's so fun. You know, and it's so, like, when we get into our thing, when we get into our genius is and our freak, yeah, it's when the energy really starts to flow. And it's just, it's so obvious and it's so natural. And that's kind of my theme for the week, is talking about embracing that freak. Wherever it is that you are resisting, wherever it is that you are hearing that you are too much of something, that you are not acceptable, that there are places of yourself that you need to hide, that is actually the thing that the world really needs right now.
It is. And just because someone else thinks it's freaky or weird doesn't mean it is.
Right. First of all, it's the sign that they are not your tribe. These are not your people. And no matter what that weirdness is, so for me, talking about sexuality and jade eggs and G-spots, that is the thing. And it's the thing that gets me compassionately angry. And it's also like it's a passion. And I love talking to women about this. Jen, with you and intuition and as a Reiki master in astrology, in coaching, with tarot, it shows and the flow shows. And so whatever that is, whatever that scary piece is, I cannot share this with the world. I'll be judged. I'll be ridiculed. I'll be something. There is your tribe. There really is. And it might be a little bit lonely for a second for you to find it, and it might be a little frustrating, but if you keep standing there out on the leading edge and you keep that sense of integrity and you keep that, this is who I am and I am not going to make myself smaller. I am going to be seen. I am going to be heard. And this is the last time that I ever put myself last. This is the last time that I ever mend and attend someone else. This is who I am. That is when your tribe shows up. It shows up in force.
I love that, Megan. Thank you so much for saying that. I love that so, so much. And you know, the tower card, kind of, I could see the tower card as you were saying that, because sometimes you have to shed the people that just don't support it.
Shedding the friends and the community and the people you thought supported you, and sometimes even family.
It's hard to admit that certain people that you loved and cared about often sometimes support who they wanted you to be rather than who you actually are.
Yeah. So being able to find that and being able to use that, you know, we love the story of transformation, but use that pain. It's like eat and consume the pain in order to share it with someone else. Because I promise, with what are we at? 11 billion? Something like that. There is someone else going through what you are going through. And there is someone else that could be helped by this. And I feel so strongly about this. I wish we could all find that freak. We could all find the gift and be able to talk about it. So thank you so much, Jen, for being here. I love connecting with you in any way. For those of you who are interested in amplifying your intuition, accessing your intuition, working with someone who is a Reiki master, certified in astrology, tarot, and the coaching, how do we find you?
The easiest way is probably through my social media sites. And then I have links to my pages on there as well. But on Facebook and Instagram, it's just at Outcome Oriented Healing. Or you could just Google Jen Smith Coaching, Outcome Oriented Healing.
Okay, cool. So everybody, thank you for listening. If you want more information about sexual empowerment or anything like that, you can go to my website. It's MeganMReilly.com, or you can find me on Facebook, Megan.M.Reilly0, and Instagram is MeganMReilly. And please like, rate the podcast, share the podcast, take a picture of you listening to the podcast and tag us on Instagram. We would love that. And I look forward to talking to you next week. Goodbye, goddesses.
This is Megan Reilly. You have been listening to The Women's Guide to Living the Orgasmic Life. If you'd like more information, my website is MeganMReilly.com. And go shake those hips.